Artist Susie Davidoff will have a show at the Zolo Gallery in Central El Paso that opens on January 25th. This show will feature prints, etchings, and monotypes. A lot of the pieces have never been shown in El Paso, and they include a new series, Rio Grande Suite. She'll also be showing more color etchings and monotypes. Here to tell us all about her latest show is artist Susie Davidoff. Welcome to State of the Arts.
Thanks, Marina. Great to see you.
So, Susie, what is different about this show?
Well, one thing that's different is that this is the first time in many years that I've had a print show in El Paso, and the first time that I've shown a group of work that's spanning probably about maybe 15 years in the city. So I'm excited about it.
And what do you see in yourself when you look at your work hanging together and you go, holy moly, this is 15 years of me?
Oh, gosh.
What do you see?
A progression. I've always been interested in working with elements from the landscape, so I think that stays the same. With the prints, maybe a little bit more than my drawings, there's a lot more color, so
I noticed that, too, on the website. I'm like, oh, cool. There's all these cool kind of, you got pinks and blues in there in the backgrounds.
The ones that have the most color, I think, are the pieces from them that are layered with a map. So those are the colors from the actual maps.
Got it. Well, okay, since we're talking about the maps, we were talking about this before we started, but you have used a method called Shin Collet, and I was doing research, and in my brain, I'm like, how does this work? And then when you explained it, it all made perfect sense. So I think it's only fair that you share that information with our friends in Airland.
Sure. Shin Collet is a printmaking process where you're using a thin piece of usually a Japanese paper or rice paper that is then bonded as it goes through the press. So you'll have a sandwich with the image on your plate, the thin paper, and then bonded onto 100% rag paper with usually some kind of glue. But as it goes through the press, the papers are actually bonded together.
And they just
And what it does is it allows printmakers to work on a much bigger variety of paper and also to sometimes get color that they couldn't necessarily get or that it would take a lot more steps to get onto their plate.
So that kind of brought us straight to the color conversation we were having before.
Yes.
So tell us about these. You decided to print maps onto this beautiful, delicate paper.
Yeah, there's a story about
maps. We want stories. This is why we're here.
I taught drawing for many years at UTEP, and next to the classroom where the drawing classes are taught is what's now the Rubin Center, used to be the geology warehouse.
That's what it was before? I never thought to ask.
Yes, it used to be. It was. I think it was the first geology department, and then it became their storage warehouse. And the professors would store core samples and old maps and all kinds of stuff like that in there. And so I met them because I was right next door.
Oh, yeah, your neighbors.
And they knew I was interested in maps because I always have been. And a few people said, hey, you know, we've got old maps that we're tossing when they were cleaning out the building.
It was a complete
gold mine. Many of the maps that were in my show last year at the Rubin Center called Simplified World that had the big pull-down maps, some of those maps were from there. And the map that is featured at Sholo Gallery, they're all parts of the same map, are also from that same building.
That's so cool.
Yeah, it's basically from a map, geological map of New Mexico.
Did you go through the maps and say, this map, because of the geography or whatever, goes with this print? Was it that precise, or was it more about the lines and the colors?
The main map is a really big map, 4 by 6 feet. Yeah. And what I did was photograph sections of the map and then have them printed onto this real beautiful Japanese kozo paper, life size. So there, each section is as big as it was on the original map. And all of the images on the prints for that series are endangered plants from New Mexico. that are all, you know, along the Rio Grande figures, of course, real prominently in all the maps of New Mexico.
And in your works, too.
And in my work also,
There's just all this flora and fauna everywhere. And it makes sense that that would kind of tie together. Did you know that at the time? Or, I mean, when these maps were gifted to you? Or was it through digging through
I had them for years before I started. I did a few small drawings on them. Yeah. And had a big collection of maps and globes for years before I started putting together these projects that are mostly dealing with vanishing species on the maps. So,
and what do you think about the textures? Because I imagine that you see paper differently than the rest of us.
Probably I'm kind of obsessed with it. So.
I know, yes. Right? I mean, I'm one for stationery and paper and the tactileness of it all. But how do you arrive at the paper that you're going to use on a given project? Because here you're talking about binding such a delicate piece of paper to something that's clearly stronger.
Part of that connects to something else that's been important in all of my prints, and that's that I've been lucky enough in the last number of years to work with some incredible master printers. All the prints in this show are printed at Flatbed Press in Austin. And usually it's a super collaborative process. And a lot of times those kinds of decisions we're making together.
So will they say, hey, check this out? Because I imagine they're also paper fanatics.
Oh, completely. Yeah, okay, what's going to be strong enough? How white do you want it? What kind of surface do you want it to have? And what's going to be the best for this pretty difficult process of... These are really large for Shinkole pieces.
So how does that work? I mean, Flatbed clearly is a great press. I think, I'm trying to remember. I think Francisco, what's Francisco's last name?
Delgado.
Yes, Francisco Delgado printed there.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of folks from here and, of course, artists from everywhere have printed there. But
absolutely.
What's that process like when you finally engage with them? I mean, you said it's highly collaborative, but do you say... Okay, this is my vision. This is what I want to do. What do you guys think? Walk us through that.
It depends on what you're doing exactly. But yes, I don't usually go in with a set drawing that because I don't like to. I don't have a set drawing that I want to translate into a print. I go in with ideas, or I go in with a box full of plants or something like that.
You're like, I'm here.
Here I am. Exactly. That's exactly right. And go from there and talk about what I want my vision to be.
Yeah.
Both Catherine Brimberry, who's the owner and a master printer, and a printer that I worked with a lot there, also Tracy Mirello, just say, hey, well, let's try this. Catherine's a master etcher, and she's like, okay, we should try this technique to make this work. And then it's just like full blast collaboration for usually I stay a week or 10 days and work all the time. It's amazing.
And what's that like? I mean, are you guys working around the clock, or is it, you know?
Not really around the clock, but we're working, you know.
Yeah, normal 9 to 5.
Yeah, 9 to 5 at least. So, yeah, and then... I think in their new studio, which they just have moved, I think they may even have, I don't know, they may even have or be thinking about having some sort of an apartment for artists there where
so
you can
cool.
really stay, and then you can work around the clock. But it's super collaborative. It's very exciting. It's luxurious, and it's also real stressful because you
right. I mean, you have
to
limited
perform
time.
And you have two or three people that you're needing to keep busy.
Right, it's got to work.
So it has to work.
So when do you know it's time? Hey, it's time to go to the press. When do you know I've got enough work? Let's go do this.
That's a good question. Many times I'll have an idea for a series of etchings or something like that. Or if I'm going to do monotypes, which I do have a couple of those in the show, that's a whole different process because they're one of, there's no two alike, but... They're sort of like a combination, I would say, of drawing and painting, but that's realized on an etching press. So it's a layered process where you can build up a base and then do drawing and painting into that base, and you keep running it through the press, or at least I do,
because
mine are very layered.
So are you thinking about this as you're going, or are you just...
Because
you have to be 10 steps ahead of yourself, no?
Well, Yes and no. You're 10 steps ahead of yourself, and you're also improvising because you're responding to what's just finished.
Right.
What's just come out. You can't plan it too far in advance because sometimes you don't know what'll happen.
Right. And then you have to embrace whatever's coming out of it.
Exactly.
Because it's probably cooler than what you had in your brain.
Sometimes it goes through all kinds of stages. It's really exciting.
How long did it take you to accept that? Because I know young artists have a harder time with that. And I mean, you've been doing this for a while. And it seems like you're having fun not knowing what's going to happen.
I think that's one of the most exciting things about printmaking is the element of surprise.
Yeah.
So I think that element of surprise, you have to like it if you're going to be a printmaker, I feel, because you just never quite know. And even just the simple fact that if you have something on a plate and it reverses as you take it off, it has a whole different look.
You don't know.
And
right.
It has a whole different look. So with the monotypes, it's even more of that. And if I'm working all for 10 days, I may get maybe 15 done sometimes. But it's very intense and very collaborative. And it's like a roller coaster ride. Lots of fun.
Super cool. We get to see your roller coaster ride on the walls at the Zolo Gallery. You're the first show of 2020.
Yes. And John Dunn, who's the owner, I think it's his first anniversary.
Ooh, fancy. Yeah. So there's all sorts of celebrations.
There's all kinds of things going on there. Yes.
So the show will open on the 25th and it'll be up until the February 22nd.
Right.
I think the easiest thing to do is to visit the gallery's website.
Yes. I think all the details are there. I know he's open on every Saturday from 1 to 4 and then also by appointment.
Cool. So the website for them is xologgallery.com. So there you have it. Thank you so much. Today my guest has been Susie Davidoff. She is opening the first show of 2020 at the Zolo Gallery on January 25th. We wish you the best and thank you for coming to State of the Arts.
Thanks so much.